Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, Brian Freeman. And for this week's episode, we are visiting with Assistant Baseball Coach Chris Prothrow. Coach Prothrow, thanks for taking the time with us.
I appreciate you having me.
I know that here coming up shortly will be the start of fall ball for the program. Will there be an opportunity for you to get back on the field and do some work in the coming weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've been – the last 2 years, what we have done is we've pushed back the start of fall practice into October. I think we start October 9th this fall. And that has allowed really all of us to get out on the road and really hammer recruiting in the month of September. So, you know, it will be – we'll be able to, you know, really kind of focus on our guys and our team in the month of October and November, which is – it's really worked out good. It's allowed our guys to have a break from the summer. It's allowed us to get out and staff, and that's one thing that we do, I think, as good as anyone, is all three of us, Coach Calvi, Coach Keller, and myself, get out and recruit and really hit the roads hard in September. And then, like I said, in October, we come back together. We're on the field with our guys, and we're trying to get ready for the spring.
Yeah, that leads me right into my next question, because for you guys, National Signing Day is in early November. You're the recruiting coordinator. With fall ball going on, what responsibilities for recruiting are out there that you have to take care of in the month leading into when guys sign national letters of intent?
Sure, and what we do is we go right up until the dead period and before that second Wednesday in the month of November where we can start, you know, we have that window, 3 or 4 days to sign guys. Is we're going to go right up into that window and continue to recruit, and we're still trying to get guys on campus. We're still trying to get guys committed, and then ultimately we're trying to get them signed in the early signing period. You know, I kind of – the recruiting coordinator title is interesting here because – like I said, everybody here has so much of their hands in the recruiting. That's why it works really well. You know, I'm kind of forced to deal with a lot of the paperwork and making sure everybody's, you know, on track not only to sign in November but to be eligible in the following fall when they show up. And we're fortunate enough to have Chris Moore, Christina Villavicencio, and Cody Crisp. Those guys helped me out quite a bit. So that's a team effort as well. But I get the paperwork issues, the visits, the stuff like that, and everybody else is really working hand in hand once they get here. But really more so to identify them, you know, recruit them, be actively on the phone and doing the things we need to do to get them here on campus and sell our program and our university.
Yeah, you get the fun part of the job, yeah. Paperwork. Everyone loves that.
That's right, that's right. Coach Calvi's good at delegating that stuff, I promise you that. He's really good at the recruiting and the evaluating, and so is Coach Keller, and then they're both really good at passing on that paperwork, I promise you.
You know, by this point in the year, is there still any travel you have to do? Is there any fall ball at other places you're watching, or is it more about getting kids on campus and to get them committed and signed?
It's a little bit of both. For example, I just got back in last night. I was up in the Midwest. We're chasing a third baseman to replace some of the guys that we feel like we'll lose this year, probably to the draft. And so I was up in the Midwest for a couple of days, coming off a weekend down in South Florida, and no different with Coach Keller. He's been on the road for 3 or 4 days and trying to be back and forth, you know, watching bullpens and to get to a practice at a junior college in the state of Mississippi, or watch a scrimmage, or watch two teams play. So it's both. It really is. Coach Calvi won't be in the office today. He's going to be in the Panhandle of Florida watching a couple junior college teams playing a tournament. So we're out there. We're continually trying to identify. We're continually trying to, you know, build our list as far as guys that we feel like may help us. And then we try to see them as many times as we can to be sure that we're not going to make any mistakes on the front end to where their experience here is great once they get here, because we know they fit.
So for those of us, for those people listening who might not understand, explain to them, when you're on the road recruiting, what's a typical day? Where are you? How much time are you at the field? You know, what are you doing around these kids and coaching staffs?
Sure. Okay. So I'll give you, this past weekend we were down, and there was a lot of, but all coaches of all levels were down in Auburndale, Florida, and there was a tournament between there's probably eight junior colleges from Central Florida and South Florida. They played on Saturday, and then they played, and eight more teams came in on Sunday, and they played. They played two games. They played at 12, and they played at 3:30. So we're there. We're probably at the field at 10 o'clock to start the conversation with coaches about who they've got on the field. You're watching them warm up. You're watching those guys take a pregame infield, how they move around, how they prepare for the games. Then you're trying to, in between games, get to the dugout to talk to the coaches to make sure you're not missing on a guy that looks good, make sure there's no issues that don't readily show themselves on the field. And then, then it's game two. You're doing the same thing for game two. And then probably spend another couple hours on the phone after that, trying to make sure you can coordinate getting the transcripts to make sure the academics fit, that they match up with what you see on the field as well. So it's a full day, probably starts, it's a work day, but maybe extends a little bit farther than the 5 o'clock hour. I promise you that.
So when you're at these events, be it just showcases in the fall or even in the spring, if you're watching a high school game after class or anything like that, do you find that you are going to games looking at specific individuals, or do you watch a game and say, oh, I like what I saw from the first baseman that play, or I like the swing that center fielder took? Is it specific or is it broad?
Most of the time it's specific, and that comes from Coach Calvi has been doing this for 20-some-odd years. Coach Keller's been doing this for 20-some-odd years. I'm working on year 13 or 14. Coach Lucky's been in it for a while. So we have a good list of contacts in the region and nationally that we're able to – develop our list of players that we're going to be more specific in what we're going to see. So typically we're going to a game to watch a specific one or two people. Now, that does not mean that one or two people, our players, student athletes, might not pop up. And I think that's where we try to separate ourselves a little bit, is to be able to pay attention to what's going on from the top to the bottom of a roster when we're at an event. And then we'll do some coverage. We might go in and watch a couple junior colleges in the panhandle that we haven't really talked to the guys, but we're doing coverage. We want to know everything. If there's a junior college within, or a high school team within about a 2 to 3 hour radius of where we're at, we want to know everything about their roster. That way we feel comfortable in knowing where we need to try to be aggressive in recruiting, where we need to be able to follow somebody, their progress, and how they continue to improve both in the classroom and on the field, and all the things that go along with that. So I think the answer is specifically we try to target as much as we can, but also leave it open to be able to have a guy pop up on us.
If any recruits are listening to this, and I'm sure that in previous podcasts when I've talked to Coach Calvi, Coach Lucky, I probably asked them too, but when you go out on the road, what are you looking for from a potential student athlete? What do you guys want to see that makes you think that they would be a good fit in the South Alabama baseball program?
Well, the first thing that'll get you noticed for us is athleticism. We want guys who are athletic when they play, which would tend to lead them to being versatile on the field. Obviously, you feel like you need a pretty good shortstop, but a pretty good athletic infielder can play all three spots. A pretty good athletic outfielder may be able to play all three spots. We want some versatility in the players that we look for. And then we want guys that are strong. They have some strengths, and that's functional strength. It doesn't mean they have to be able to bench press 400 pounds or look like a bodybuilder in a uniform. It's strength when they play the game. And the most important thing, I think, is that stuff, the athleticism, the ability to run a little bit, the ability to defend, that stuff will get you noticed, and then it's the other stuff that's going to get you recruited. It's those phone calls before, or the conversations before and after a game about the makeup and what type of person they are, what the work ethic is like, what they do in the classroom, because success or failure in the classroom kind of leaves clues about what they're going to do on the field. So the ability on the field will get you noticed. But I kind of feel like in our program, which is why we've been successful, is the other stuff, the intangibles, the makeup, the off-the-field stuff. That's what gets you recruited and gets you offered.
Now, looking at this class coming in, you guys have the full opportunity to work with here in the coming weeks. Here in the last couple of weeks, Collegiate Baseball named it the 25th best class in the country. When you guys hear that and find that out, what's the reaction? What's it mean to you to know that people think that much of the work that you're doing in the recruiting area?
It is a little bit of a validation of the efforts of the staff, of what we're trying to do, because we work hard at it. I have to echo what Coach Calvi said. I read the article about, when that came out, that he spoke with Charlie's. I do agree with him that There have been classes here before that probably deserve the same type of attention. But we were fortunate enough to kind of have a couple of headline high school players that were drafted pretty well that decided that, you know, it was more important for them to come to South Alabama and continue their development, both as a student and as an athlete. And so that gets you some notoriety. And that's good. It's a validation of what we're trying to do here, and that's we're trying to be the best. And it's hard. We're in a situation where we're in a region where baseball is good. You know, you're in the southeast part of the country where there's a lot of good programs and a lot of people are working at it. But we're fortunate enough, like I mentioned before, with Cody, Christina, and Chris, we've got a great, you know, and Jason Kelly, we've got great help on the administrative side of trying to make sure what we're doing from a student-athlete standpoint, who we're bringing in. And then Dr. Urban gives us the resources that are not unlimited, but he puts us in a situation to do what we need to do to try to have a recruiting class that's ranked in the top 25 of the country. So, like I said, do I think we need that to validate our hard work and to make us feel good about ourselves? No, because I think we all know in here how much we get after it, and that's as a complete coaching staff. But it does make you feel good that what you're doing gets noticed.
You know, you said one of the reasons that for that was a couple of the incoming freshmen and their circumstances of where they were drafted and deciding to turn down professional contracts. But when you look at the class coming in, what excites you about these guys? What do you think they bring to campus that's going to give them a chance to be a successful class and build on what you guys have done on the field in the spring the last few years?
I think what we did – again, this past recruiting class was get out and do our best job of trying to collect as many quality pitching, as much quality pitching, as many quality arms as we could. That was on the high school side of things, and also on the junior and from the junior college ranks. And so we feel like over the last 2 years, with this one being the bookend of the last 2 years, that we have put together a collection of arms with our returning position players that we've got a chance really now to make some noise in the spring. Obviously, it looks good on paper. We'll see what happens. But that was the idea. And then you had, you know, we had to replace Jared Barnes. We knew he was getting drafted last year, so we tried to do that with some younger guys and be able to – with some high-profile younger guys is what it ended up working out to be. So, you know, we feel like we targeted some needs that we knew on the front end we're going to have to replace. And then we tried to continue to get the best pitchers that we could. And that's every year you're trying to collect, you know, trying to build your staff. And we feel like we were very successful doing that this year. Coach Keller grabbed a couple guys out of the Midwest that are really going to help us. And then we did some hard work down in the state of Florida, brought a couple guys in from there as well that should add to what's already here, which is a good talented bunch that's already here.
So when we get to the spring, I think – you guys have a system that's a little different than a lot of coaching staffs or a lot that I'd worked with in the past. Explain to our listeners how much time you spend recruiting in the spring versus coaching baseball games.
Sure. You know, depending on the circumstances, and it's been pretty similar the last couple of years, you know, once March 1st hits and we can actually get back out on the recruiting trail a little bit, you know, I'll get out and I'll miss a handful, 10, 15 games in the spring, maybe more. I think last year it was about 20 games that I missed in the spring because we were aware of the fact that not only was Jared Barnes going to get drafted, we kind of got to the idea that we may lose a couple more arms in the draft that were potential guys, with JoJo being one of them, that he ended up showing up, that, you know, that we needed to be able to be in a position to replace those guys if it happened. So, you know, what we do that's more unique is we'll go out and we'll be as aggressive in the spring as the rest of the teams in the country are in the summer and the fall. And that's why it goes back to what I was saying earlier, especially in our region. Very rarely will you find a coaching staff that's trying to be good that doesn't work in the summer and the fall. That everybody's out recruiting, they're developing their list, they're developing their contacts. We're all out trying to see players, get them on campus, get them committed, and get them signed. Where you can still beat people is with the unique way we do things, we feel like, in the spring is we don't lose our aggressiveness and we don't lose our developing our list. We get out, and that's one thing that is a little unique. Sometimes it can be a little tiring. It can wear you down a little bit because you got travel with the team and recruiting. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to be great, and so that's what we try to do.
On the plus side, I imagine your points at hotels and airlines are probably through the roof when you actually get a chance to use it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll figure that out once I get a chance to use them, but I would imagine so. Yeah, probably so.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with assistant baseball coach Chris Prothro. Entering your third season here at South Alabama, you came after 8 years on the staff at Nicholls State, where you were associate head coach and at the second half of that recruiting coordinator. Back then, what interested you in this job that got you to apply and want to come here and be a part of this program?
The first thing was my entire time at Nicholls, what we were doing is we were playing home and homes with South. And so the members of the coaching staff that I was with at Nicholls, we would talk about what a great place we felt like South Alabama was. And so there was some, you know, that was an intriguing factor. I knew the history. I'm from Louisiana. When I was coming up in high school and then my first couple of years at college, and then playing in the Sun Belt as a junior and a senior at Arkansas State, I knew what the history of this program was. I knew how good it was, how good it could be, and what the potential of the program was. And then when Coach Calvi came on board, Coach Keller, and then Coach Lucky staying with those guys, I knew with the experience here was a great opportunity. One, I watched from the outside. I watched the improvement that happened almost in the first year, really in the first year. And then I knew it was a great opportunity for me to not only be a part of a great program, but continue to learn from these guys. You know, Coach Keller's been at the highest levels of college baseball as a pitching coach. Coach Calvi's obviously done what he did at South Carolina after many successful years at FIU. And then Coach Lucky, who you've been around, you know that he could teach you about life. He could teach you about infield. He could teach you about the mortgage business. He could do whatever. You know, as long as you're paying attention, you're probably going to learn something. Yeah. So that was intriguing as well. And I felt like, just like Coach Calvi and I and Coach Keller tell our recruits when we recruit them, we feel like this is a place that can get to the College World Series. So how could you say no to that if you had the opportunity?
Now, also, your first job was as an assistant at North Iowa Area Community College. At what point did you figure out coaching was going to be what you wanted to do for a professional career?
I think it was after my freshman year of college. I redshirted my freshman year at Northwestern State. I was injured, so I wasn't going to go play that summer. And I was able to coach the Junior American Legion team of my high school back in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I remember I was playing for John Cohen was the head coach. He's, you know, the athletic director at Mississippi State. And I remember him saying this to me. He said, that will give you a new perspective on the game, being able to go back and do that. And I look back and think he was exactly right. And I realized that, one, that it was something that I really enjoyed. And we had some success, so I maybe fooled myself into thinking it was something I could be good at too. So that those two things kind of happened, and it kind of snowballed from there. And I really enjoyed it. Obviously, I loved playing. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't around baseball on a day-to-day basis, and I knew that already. But coaching really became a thought for me after my freshman year of college.
So then, and I'll ask you a little bit about the college path. But as you were going through the college experience as a player, were there things you were doing to set yourself up to get that first job and get into the field?
You know, not really until my junior or senior. It's probably my junior spring, which would have been 2004 at Arkansas State. I started to have conversations with the staff there as far as what would it be like. It looked like I was gonna. It was gonna take me another semester to graduate. So I knew that I would have the fall at Arkansas State where I wasn't playing, and I asked if I could hang around and help out a little bit, and that helped out a little bit with them kind of mentoring me through that process. And then, you know, well, really and truly, I got so fortunate. I tell people all the time, there was a job opening at North Iowa Area Community College in January after I graduated, and I just blindly sent my resume in, and the coach there, Todd Rima, who's now the head coach at Kirkwood Community College in Iowa, he called me, you know, and he said, would you really be, I looked at your resume. We feel like just from your resume, this is what we're kind of looking for, is a, you know, a player that had played at the Division I level and has an offensive background and all that. And I said, and he said, would you be interested? And I asked him, I'll never forget. I was talking on the phone with him at the house I was renting in Jonesboro, Arkansas. I said, Coach, let me ask you a question. I didn't know him. This was our first conversation. I said, if you were me, in my position, trying to get my career started, would you be interested in this job? And he said, absolutely. And so, and I said, okay, you know, and so we ended up actually sitting down at the ABCA coaching convention in Chicago that year. They interviewed me and offered me the job a couple of days later. And next thing you know, I'm on a car, in a car driving from Shreveport to Iowa in January to start that job. And he was unbelievable. And the other assistant there is now the head coach at North Iowa, who has improved upon what Coach Rama did at NIAC, and has taken actually taken the team to the College World Series, the JUCO College World Series, a couple times. So it was just luck of the draw. I just got lucky, you know. And when I played junior college ball, the head coach there said, "Hey, if you ever want to get," as a head coach at Crowder at the time, he said, "If you ever want to get into coaching," he said, "I'll hire you." Well, at that time when I was finishing up at North Iowa, he had just been hired at Nichols, and he followed through and he did what he said, you know. So. So I've been very, very fortunate and very lucky in the timing of things that have happened, and can't explain enough how much that, you know, that how much that has helped. It's been timing and who I knew and a little bit of success along the way, I think.
So you've mentioned some of the schools that you attended and played baseball at, and just if you would explain to our listeners kind of how that journey worked out, because you started at Northwestern State Division I, went to junior college, ended up back in Division I at Arkansas State. You know, you remember the decision-making process at the time, you know, why go to junior college? And then when you were being recruited out of there, how did Arkansas State end up being the fit?
Sure. You know, I went to Northwestern State out of high school. I was recruited there pretty extensively in my sophomore and junior year, and finally decided to commit my senior year. Actually injured my shoulder my senior year in high school and continued on to Northwestern State as a freshman, but could not play that first year. So I redshirted, and then in my redshirt freshman year, the coaching staff had brought in a catcher from, I can't remember where he was from, but he ended up being first team all conference in the South. And I got like 10 or 15 at bats, and I'm looking at him, seeing the writing on the wall. Why would you play me over a first team all conference returning catcher? So I had a long conversation with the head coach at the time. There is Mitch Gaspard. And he said, "What I think you need to do is you need to go play." And so I went to Crowder College, which is a very good junior college in the state of Missouri, historically. And now they actually were in the JUCO World Series last year. I went there for a year, played for Chip Durham, who ended up being the head coach at Nichols. So that worked out pretty good. I played there for a year and was able to be recruited by Arkansas State University, where I went for 2 years after that and got my degree.
Was there anyone else that when you were in high school in Shreveport that was recruiting you, or was Northwestern State just recruiting you so long that you didn't really talk to anyone else before you ended up going there?
Yeah, well, I was recruited by a couple other schools. You know, Centenary College was right there in Shreveport. It was a very good academic institution. And at that time, they were still Division I. We're doing some good things on the baseball field. And Natchitoches was 60 miles away from home, but it was important for me to get out of the house a little bit. So I think that was the difference maker for me right there. It was really just kind of those two schools, and I picked Northwestern. So that's just kind of how that went. You know, what was the other part of the question?
No, it was just that, you know, was it that they recruited you so long at Northwestern State?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
That it helped you be comfortable with that decision to go there.
That was part of it. You know, Northwestern State did recruit me for an extended period of time. I had been to a couple camps there as a younger player in high school. And also, the catcher before me at our high school, at Captain Shreve High School in Shreveport, was the starting catcher at Northwestern State. Now he helped in that recruiting process too. So there was a relationship there. We were supposed to live together. When I showed up on campus, of course, he flew the coop on me and went to a different school in his junior year. He transferred to LSU, but you know, so that kind of helped, you know, helped the recruiting process, I guess, aided the recruiting process.
How old were you when you started playing baseball, and you remember why you got into the sport?
I remember playing T-ball at 5. I remember my aunt was my coach, which was kind of a big deal. You have a female coach in T-ball. I remember it rubbed some people the wrong way, and you know, she didn't care, nor did most of us on the team. You know, it was kind of a neat situation. I remember doing that, and then I remember going into Little League, and there was a group of us, probably 5 or 6 of us, that played together for, you know, probably from age 6 to age about 13, and And we had one of my good buddies who I went all through school, elementary school. His aunt was actually my kindergarten teacher. We went elementary school, middle school, and high school together. His dad and his dad's brother, so his uncle, were basically our little league coaches for my entire youth. And I tell people all the time how fortunate. They were tough on us, but they really taught us how to play, you know. And that was something that was, I think, unique back then. I don't know if it's like that now, is that we all stayed together. It wasn't, you know, splitting off into teams. It was like I said, a good nucleus of us that, shoot, we were together for 7 or 8 years with the same coaches, and we kind of knew the expectations, and they were serious ones, you know, as far as just the attention to the task at hand every single day. I think it was awesome what we went through and what we learned and what they taught us. It was great. It was a great experience all the way through.
Were there any other sports that interested you growing up, or was it all baseball all the time?
I played a little basketball and football. I played basketball until my sophomore year of high school, in which I realized baseball was kind of what I was going to do, and basketball used to leak a little bit into the baseball spring season. And also, I was 5'10", so I knew that probably basketball wasn't going to happen for me. But I loved football. I played in middle school and high school. And then, you know, I still like to play golf. I get to play about once a year, but I have clubs, you know, so I guess that means I'm a golfer. I don't know.
In our world, you are. Mm-hmm. You probably go out then one time and beat us, and then Charlie and I'd get fired up, but that's another story. Was it when Northwestern State contacted you, you said about sophomore year that they did, that you realized the possibility of a college scholarship and playing at that level was something that could happen? Or were you already thinking about that when they got in touch with you?
No, absolutely. That was the first thing. That was kind of the first indicator that I had a chance to do it. I was fortunate enough to be a fairly good student. My ACT score was good. My GPA was good. So I was going to have the opportunity to get some academic scholarships, and I went to college, and I kind of knew that as a sophomore in high school. So, we'll be fine. I'm going to go somewhere in-state. In the state of Louisiana, they have the lottery money, so plus some academic help, and you're in good shape as far as paying for college. So I just knew that I loved playing and thought I was okay. You know, I'd been on the All-Stars when I was 12, I mean, like everybody else, you know, but never really thought that you know, I could get a chance to play in college until those guys contacted me, and it was great. I had a great experience with the recruiting process the first time and the second time going around, so I thought that was neat, and it was neat to be afforded that opportunity. Of course, you know, back then the scholarship situation was different. I had a little bit of academic money, and I signed for books, so that didn't cost them a whole lot. It's not like they were taking a big risk on me, but but it was a great experience, and they kind of opened my eyes to being able to play at the Division I level.
So, fairly, I think, you know, a lot of kids, and it's not just baseball, it's all sports. You're growing up, you harbor those dreams, I'm going to play professionally. And yeah, as you're playing in high school and you're being recruited in college to play in college, you're thinking that too. At what point do you think you hit the wall and said to yourself, might not be a real possibility, and I need to look at something else seriously?
I think my first practice at Northwestern State, you know, we were really good at my 2 years there. I think we won 44 and 43 games. So there was a lot of talent on the field. And, of course, when you're in high school, it's the typical story that our guys go through now. You're the best player on the team. Then you show up, and it's an eye-opening experience when you're not anymore. And for me, it wasn't an eye-opening experience that I wasn't the best player on the team. My whole idea through the recruiting process was I did not want to go to a college where I was the best player. I was well aware of the fact that we needed better guys around me if we wanted to do something at the Division I level. But I didn't realize how good these guys really were. And that's across the board at the Division I level. There's a lot of good players. There's a lot of good players every year that don't get drafted. It'd blow your mind that, you know, some of these guys you feel like are getting missed. So that's, for me, it was that first practice my freshman year, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, because I'm going, the math works out, so about two or three of these guys are getting drafted, and they're all better than I am right now. So I don't know that necessarily I'll be a professional player. I could kind of be realistic with myself.
Yeah. Hey, not all college kids are.
Very few, as a matter of fact.
As you look down the road, I mean, obviously you guys have a great thing going on here at South Alabama within this program, and it's part of a department that's doing pretty well across the board. And I think we're all thrilled for the opportunity to be here. But if you were to explain to our listeners, like, your long-term goals in baseball, you know, is it just head coach in college? Do you have any interest in coaching in the professional ranks? Where do you see yourself going further down the road in the sport?
I would love to be a head coach at the college level at a place like South Alabama. You know, will that happen? We'll see. You know, I think that up to this point, I've been fortunate enough to get to a place in a position that I'm in now that you almost hate to push your luck a little bit. And you got to realize that, I'm in a pretty good spot. We all are in a pretty good spot. The more you're successful, the more you do good things, the more we have a recruiting class that's ranked, or we do some good things offensively, or we bring in pitchers that are Coach Keller's continuing to develop and they do some good things and we win games and get to where we ultimately want to go, you know, opportunities may or may not present themselves. I think I can speak for our entire staff that we're well aware of how fortunate, you know, where we are, the resources that are provided to us, the people that we get to be around every day, the facilities that we get to come work at every day, and that the university that we get to recruit to that really recruits itself, the campus and the academics here recruit themselves. So, you know, it you keep one eye on that to make sure that you're, you know, you're grounded and you're appreciative of where you are. But I would love to be a head coach at some point in the future.
The guest this week on Inside Jag Nation has been assistant baseball coach Chris Prothro. Before we let you go, I want to ask you some questions, and it'd be the first thing that comes to your mind. Give people a chance to get to know you away from the field when you take the hat off, jersey off. We've already gone over free time is virtually non-existent. When you have a moment, what's your favorite thing to do?
You know, I'd like to go, Sally, go see in a movie. You know, with the recruiting and not having free time, like you said, and then having an almost 2-year-old now, that the movie attendance has gone to almost zero. But if you ask me if I could do anything tonight, what would I want to do? I'd go watch a movie. That's what I'd go to.
What's your favorite sport outside of baseball?
I'd say the NBA. I like watching the NBA. Those guys are so good. They're so athletic. They're so good at what they do. There's such a heightened awareness now of what they're trying to do on a court with each other and the way they attack, both offensively and defensively, that I think the NBA is pretty neat.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Wow, that's a good question. And the first thing that comes to mind is I had to have been 1988, I remember, 1988, 89, something like that. My dad and my aunt, same aunt that coached me in T-ball, threw me in the car. We drove to Dallas and watched the Bulls and the Mavericks play. And that's when Michael Jordan was playing for the Bulls. It was right before they got really good, but he was obviously Michael Jordan. And the Mavericks were terrible. And we sat up, and there was probably a good 10-year period where the Mavericks were the worst team in the NBA. But we sat up in the top of the building. I remember watching the game. And for whatever reason, that game, the Mavericks gave the Bulls all they could handle. And at the very end of the game, there's about 2 seconds left, Paxson to Jordan. Jordan hits the game winner. I'll never forget it.
That was pretty cool.
There's one athletic event you've never been to as a fan and you need to go. What's at the top of your bucket list?
Well, that's a good question, too. I want to go to the College World Series. I've never been. Never been with a team as a player or a coach or as a fan. I'm not going to give the "I'll never go unless I take a team there." Whatever. I'd love to take a team there. We'd love to take this team there. But at some point, to get to Omaha, Nebraska and watch that, at least a couple of days of it, that'd be pretty cool.
What's best place you've ever been on vacation to?
You know, my wife and I, we talk about it all the time. We went to Costa Rica for our honeymoon. We went for about 6 days. Didn't do anything special, kind of bounced around the country a little bit, stayed in some okay hotels and traveled okay. Like, sometimes it was a little shaky, so it's not like we broke the bank on the trip, but the people there, the scenery there, the food there, it was awesome. I'd go back. If you told me, hey, we can go to Costa Rica tomorrow, I'd go, no doubt.
Top of the list for place you want to go on vacation you've never been to?
You know, I'd like to go to Italy. I really would. My wife and I talk about it all the time. She loves to travel, so I love for us to have the money to be able to travel. But I would like to go, and she's been before, so she's always talking about going somewhere that she hasn't been before. I'd love to go to Italy, check out the countryside, get into Rome a little bit, and maybe drink a little wine. I don't know. Well, I'm old enough. I'm 21.
What's your favorite movie?
My all-time favorite movie was probably, I would say, Legends of the Fall. That's a good movie for me. I don't know how sophisticated that answer is, but I enjoy watching that movie. And you know what? I mean, if Shawshank Redemption or Forrest Gump's on TNT when I turn the TV on, I'm probably not changing it.
Yeah.
Favorite book?
You know, I don't have a favorite book. I've got a favorite author. I like, I've been reading over the years a bunch of Lee Child books. He's pretty good. You know, it's like mystery, murder mystery thriller. He's got a couple good characters. Anything that he writes to kind of, you know, just to kill the time. I'll read a little bit before I go to bed every night, and usually something like that, a little twist your brain a little bit, and a little guilty pleasures before going to bed.
Favorite musical artist?
I grew up loving Dave Matthews. I think I'd have to say this. Yeah, that hasn't changed.
And down the road, when a Hollywood producer tracks down Chris Prothrone, says, making a movie about your life, what actor plays the lead role of Chris Prothrone?
Probably Denzel Washington, I think. I mean, that's the only actor that I know that has the gravitas to be able to pull off what I've been. No, I got no idea. I got no idea who that would be. Somebody less than 6 feet tall with dark hair probably pull it off, I would imagine. Not real complex, this character we got over here.
I understand Tom Cruise is under six feet.
Yeah, there you go, Tom Cruise.
Can you afford him?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll have to give him a lot of percentage on the back end because it's definitely going to be, you know, a blockbuster. So we'll make a bunch of money off that one.
Chris Prothrone has been the guest this week on Inside Jag Nation. Fall baseball start here in the coming days and weeks. And then going into next season as coming off of the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament Championship and two NCAA regional appearances. Wish you the best of luck. Look forward to continue working with you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time and talking about our players. And we're very excited about this year. We'll see what happens, but we couldn't be more excited right now. I promise you that.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!